Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of One of These Years. Second episode of the week. It's playoff week, for crying out loud. Regular cast today. I'm, of course, Nick Bumburn, along with Colton Pouncey. Yes, Lions-Rams, as we told you, was our preferred outcome of the situation. Lions-Rams indeed happening. Matthew Stafford returning to Ford Field for the first time since he got out of here. That whatever day that was back in 2021. Colton, how are we doing here, my man?
Doing good. Not gonna lie, I'm getting a little tired of the narratives of this week, which we knew would be part of it. Listen, and for those at home, we wanted the game. We wanted football. We wanted the matchup. We didn't. Right. We knew that this was part of it. You know, yeah. I like the idea of Stafford and Goff having to I was just curious to see what they had to say about this matchup and just playing their former teams. But beyond that, I could do without Kelly Stafford. I could do without the jersey ban that's going around Twitter, the fake one, and all the other nonsense of the week. But in terms of this game, like, I'm glad we're getting closer to Sunday because that's what we all want to see. Yeah. That's kind of why we wanted this matchup in the first place.
At least in this case, I think Kelly's Instagram kerfuffle was like, she commented in someone's thing, right? She didn't post about it separately. Yeah. Which
it was a comment. People still found it somehow.
They did find it, which, I mean, okay, fine. Like, you know, her media literacy is not always the best, but in the back of the day, she would just post it and be like, this is ridiculous. And everyone would be like, it's not real. It's not real. And then she would just be like, whatever.
You know what? So I'll take a second to defend Kelly, because I was on Twitter and I saw people say,
yeah, she didn't post it this time. So
Kelly's yapping about not being able to get a suite at the Lions game. And I'm just like, well, let me go back and actually listen to the podcast. And I listened to it, and I think she had some like valid concerns. Because she says, you know, Matthew wants the kids at the game, but, you know, if we can't get a suite, that's going to be tough because we'd have to sit in the environment. And, like, obviously Lions fans have been so well to us, but we're the enemy in this scenario. And, like, there's going to be hecklers, and we have four young kids. And it's like, I'm like, I totally understand that. So if that's what people are mad at her about, then whatever. She's obviously, you know, gotten herself into trouble other times, but I don't think this is one that was warranted, but.
I mean, she's got a podcast, so, you know, it's warranted because she doesn't need to have a podcast, but that's neither here nor there. In any event, that's too much Kelly Stafford for this week and any week, I would say. Yes, Colton, well, let's start then, I suppose, right there, because you have had a chance now to talk with Mr. Goff. I believe Stafford's talked, right? Has he talked out there in L.A.?
Yes, he talked on Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, so... you know, we had our thoughts about Jared coming in and how that would go. What was your first impression of him there? I'm sure it was business as usual for the most part, but maybe not. I don't know. What was your impression of Jared in playoff week? Big deal here.
Yeah, very much business as usual, which is kind of what we expected. But he did give himself like a brief moment to kind of reflect on, like, you know, why he wants this game. He's like, this is so much bigger than me and Matthew. This is about the city of Detroit. And I so badly want to win a playoff game for this city. And that was probably the furthest he went with it, but that was such a cool quote, man. And to hear him actually talk about it and just how much he wants it for Detroit, not for himself, not for to get revenge against, you know, Sean McVay, but for the city. I think he put the focus properly where it should be in a game like this. And that was a perfect way to handle it. And just you could sense how badly he wants this for Detroit, because that he knows the history here, something that was talked about probably the day he arrived. The last couple of years, even, and getting to the playoffs and being close last year and finally getting there this year. You know, it's right there. They're very close to getting that done. They have a good game on Sunday. It's very much on the table. And he understands that. And so I think there's level of focus there from Goff. You know, he wasn't really giving us anything else, which is fine. I didn't really expect much out of him in terms of the media narratives out there this week. But I think he's very locked in. I think he's dialed in. I think the focus is there. And I think he's really just trying to accomplish that one goal in mind, which is, you know, getting a playoff win and winning and continuing this run that they're on this year.
Yeah, that's how you go about it now if you're Jared, because, you know, you play the long game here on the revenge tour, because, you know, this win is the win that this city, right, like the franchise needs it as much as, more than anybody here on the team needs it. And Jared would probably be like 1B, because for his career arc, like if they keep winning in the playoffs, that was my point. Like you win this one, you win another one or whatever. If you get to the second round and you keep going, you've dispatched this guy, everything takes care of itself in that sense. And I think that if you're Goff, right, you prove in so many ways, he's already proven the point. And I think that, you know, the point was, like we talked about with Jordan earlier in the week, that for a bunch of reasons, the thing had to happen. Was it fair? No. Was it handled properly? No. But it was what it was. And it's indicative of it's still going on in the league now. I mean, you know, look at Justin Fields. I mean, he's not alone. There's other quarterbacks of that age that just get totally, you know, given up on. And it's easy for people to forget how young these guys are. And that's the thing I had to remember when he came here, because you said earlier, like, I'm sure he heard about the Lions history when he got here. I don't even know if he would have had to, man. They were so horrible and everything was so bad when he got here. It was like, you remember that? Okay, so the other day, that Gridiron Heights or whatever, that Bleacher Report show.
That was so good.
That thing was amazing. They did one of those on the Stafford trade. I want everyone to go back and find it. It's like the Stafford cartoon. He's like riding a surfboard out of town, like, you know, and he's, oh, here we go. Him and Kelly, like, off to L.A. And Goff, they had him in, like, this frozen lion's cage with, like, Dan Campbell biting a lion. And it was like, oh, and he was like, what am I doing? It was, like, the saddest thing. But, like, that is what everyone thought. They were like, Goff has been sent to a wasteland to just his first career to die. And that's not happened, obviously, right? So in so many ways, he's already proven the point. He's already proven that, like, you know, he's overcome all that. We'll see what happens, you know, with the next contract and everything. But I think for the point of proving to himself and the public of what he is as a player has already been done. So it's cool to see that at least that focus is there. That's not surprising at all. And I think the one thing that still maybe will concern me on Sunday, I suppose, though, because you just don't know how this is going to go, is are you going to get, and I said this on a radio show earlier today, like, are you going to get the comfortable, calm, steady Goff, or the guy who's trying to just rip it out of the building, Goff, because he's so excited? And I'm wondering, Colton, if you're Ben Johnson, do you handle this first quarter a little bit? Maybe you pump the brakes a bit and get the run game going and let's get the thing moving down the field a little bit and just make sure that he doesn't have any opportunity to get a little bit over his skis. Because I'm still worried about that. Still worried that on Sunday he's going to show up, he's going to run out of that tunnel, the crowd's going to go completely berserk for Goff, that he's going to get the loudest ovation of the whole, right, of the whole building, and then he's going to just, you know, he's going to freak out and whatever, and then they're going to have a mistake and they can't afford it. So I'm wondering, am I overreacting, do you think? Has Goff gotten over this, you know, that kind of stuff? And if you are Ben Johnson, do you maybe play that a little conservative? I don't know. I'm concerned about that a little bit.
That's a good question. You know, Goff has had some times where he's come out flat and you can kind of tell early how a game's going sometimes with the way he's playing.
Yeah.
But then there have also been games this year where it's like, oh, Goff is not, he doesn't have it today. He just doesn't. And then all of a sudden the light will switch on and he'll just start dicing up defenses. So I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. Like, I do think you need to get him off to a good start. And maybe that you do that by getting the run game going. I think they probably plan on doing that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have a really strong offensive line. We know that their bread and butter is running the ball. So maybe they try to get Gibbs and Montgomery going early. throwing some play action passes for Goff to just make things easier. So if that's the game plan, totally understand it. But I also think Goff is mature enough to a point where he can overcome slow starts, and when things don't go his way, he's kind of, all right, let's get back to it. Let's get a play here.
Good point.
And that's sort of his mentality. That's the maturity that he didn't have in LA, because Sean McVay was breathing down his neck every time he made a mistake, you know? So he felt he needed to be perfect, and then he started forcing things to kind of make a play, and things would kind of snowball from there. That's really not the case in Detroit, because they have – we talked about it on the other podcast. They are so patient with this guy, and they allow him the freedom to make mistakes and say, look, that's going to happen in the game. Obviously, you don't like turnovers, but when they do happen, it's about what happens next. Can we bounce back? Can we get a drive here? Can we get some points on the board just to, like, you know, calm the storm a little bit? And I think that's what they've been able to do here in Detroit with Jared Goff in place. And I think that's Goff these days, you know?
Yeah, so, that is.
Yeah.
That's the best point. And I think I'm still probably going to be a little bit concerned about it. It's just that it's natural, you know, to have that on Sunday. But like, I think you make the great point that this is not the same person as the guy that got here, number one, and really last year even, or even earlier this year in some ways. I mean, that is the greatest point that I used to say it all the time when Chris and I did the show during Goff's first year, that like if they turn the ball over, they lose the game automatically because they cannot get it back. Jared can't get it back, right? If he fumbles on a spin out, he's not making any play in the course of a four quarter game that you're like, whoa, you know, that was like, whoa, that's just going to get 60 yards back or whatever. And frankly, I think he's proven me wrong in that case, because now he can do that. He's done that in some cases over the last month or two, wouldn't we say? Like,
yeah.
So maybe I'm with you in some, you know, I think for me, when I look at this and I cut it up offensively for Detroit, and we'll talk about the other side in a second, of course, but like, this is why you're going to pay all the money to the offensive line. This is why you drafted the guys. This is why, you know, this is why you do all this. To get here and to be healthy and to take the game over and to make people play you and to make people feel you and to do it from the drop. And like, so to me, and yeah, I could get maybe trying to see if whatever you run your regular stuff, maybe you see if Goff can get a shot early, but it's got to be, let's buckle it up from the minute they touch the ball and go and try to drown them with the run game, because that's why you're here and that's how they're going to advance. And I think that is still sort of what I'm very curious to see. And it's one of those things where we've seen it every time these guys are healthy and together, it works. But like now it's here, it's a playoff game, right? And I know we agree on that, but I mean, just your thoughts on that. It's finally here. They're all available. We talk about it all the time. We talked about it for 3 years, this line. Now it's time for them to go win a game, in my opinion. Go win a football game, go win a playoff game. Don't make Jared have to do it. That's really what I'm, I guess, maybe getting to in that point. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah. I think it's of the utmost importance to set the tone with this offensive line
right away.
In a game like this, you don't want the Rams to kind of come out here and do their thing, and all of a sudden you go down 7-0 and you're playing catch up the rest. No, like I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions win the toss and then
take the ball. Yeah.
Like, I really wouldn't. Because they can, like we've talked about it for so long. The strength of this team has always been the offense. You were never really going to rely on the defense to win you a game. They can keep you in a game when they're right, but like this offense has to go out and win games. They are a top five highest paid offense in the NFL. We talk about the offensive line and the pieces they have and how they've never been healthy. You got them now. Got them. There's a couple guys popping up on the injury report. That's just veteran rest. They are healthy.
Yeah, they'll be ready to go.
They're ready for this 100%. And so they do need to set the tone. They do need to protect Jared Goff. They do need to create these running lanes, and they can do that. It's going to be tough. You know, they got some dudes up there, Aaron Donald. They got the rookie defensive lineman, Kobe Turner. Yep.
Yeah, he's
nine sacks as a rookie. Whew. You know,
they're playing really well, but they're young too.
Yeah. Oh. But this offensive line, like this is a veteran group. This is a battle-tested group. They've been together. They've played together. They've been waiting for a moment like this where it can really show what they've been building over the years. So you got it, man. Let's go see what you can do. Like that's sort of my mindset. And if not, they struggle. That'd be a letdown. That'd be disappointing. I think that's fair to say. Cause this group has kind of showed over time, that they are good enough to win games, and we think they're good enough to win playoff games for this team. So they just haven't had the opportunity to do so. Well, it's here. So let's see it.
And look, we just saw it in the old college playoff, okay? And this is why you run the ball. This is why you do all this, so that you get to this point. And we just talked about for Jared, you know, you don't want to, you know, he's got to be calm and focused and steady and everything else. For Sewell and those dudes, screw that. Turn that, you know, turn it up and let's go from the minute it starts. I don't want to hear any calm, anything. Like, snap the ball and take someone's, you know, head off and break someone's back. Like, that's what you're there to do that day. And I think that that's the beauty of why you do it, because it travels, it carries, it works in any environment. And when you have to, if you're the opposition, when you have to play at that level of physicality and you have to match it on every snap defensively, flip the thing to the other side and you're Sean McVay and a play caller. And I know they've retooled their run game and they've retooled everything. That's still a pass first team. When you start hammering them physically and you start making some inroads with that, they're going to want to do the same thing to you in reverse, and they can't. It's not the same. So to me, I agree with you right away. I mean, it's got to be like rip snorting and get going right off the shoot. And it would be an extreme disappointment. And I would be shocked, frankly, if those guys don't play well, because that's not been one game all year, Colton. Even when they had the bad guys, the backups, even when they had the backups in, they were still fine. They still ran the ball well against pretty much every team they've played. So when we talk about, people have asked all week, like matchups, this matchups, that, I still don't hate this matchup because I think they can run the ball on them. And I think they can do all the things that we've talked about here over the last 5 minutes. I know that the Rams have some dudes up front and Donald is a freak. You got to take care of him and get him out of there, but you also have Frank, who is awesome. So, you know, let's remember that too. So I like that matchup for them still. I don't know where you're at on it, but the Lions, the best thing they have, can win them this game. That's my opinion on it. And I think that's probably what we'll see, but you know, you never quite know. I don't know. Are you as confident in that as I am? I really feel like they can get this done here up front.
When you get to the playoffs, you need your best players to play at their best. And a lot of their best players are on this offensive line. And you look at Frank Ragnow and Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker and some of these guys, and you know, they're some of the best in their position. And there's a reason why they kept this core in place, why they re-signed guys when this new regime got here, and why they kept adding to that group with a guy like Penei. Your first draft pick of this regime, you're trying to build something that can win you playoff games. That's what this was about. Now you're here. And so when you get to the playoffs, you're talking about maximizing your strengths and just doing what you've done well all season, continuing that into the postseason. So if that were to regress, the Lions might not win this game, especially against a defensive line like that.
Right.
So it is very important for that group to get going. I would be surprised if they don't play well, because, I mean, man, you watch Penei in those huddles, and it's been so fun to watch his maturation this year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
Night and day from where he was a couple years ago, kind of scared to talk.
Really is.
Even last year, he wasn't really doing this. He feels so comfortable now. He feels like a leader on this team. I mean, he's a captain. In his third season, he's still like 22 or maybe 20, just turned 23.
I think he
something
just turned
like
23,
yeah. Yeah. And that's why you go and get a franchise corner, something like that. He's going to set the tone for that offensive line. Decker's going to set the tone. Frank is going to do his thing. So I do like that matchup. Like, when you're talking about strength on strength, I like that strength for the Lions more so than the Rams.
Yeah.
Now, it's easier said than done to block Aaron Donald, but I do think this group is battle-tested. They've been here before. They've seen good players before. They've blocked good players before. So they're not going to be afraid of the moment or anything like that. And I think they're going to rise to the challenge. So we'll see. But, I feel confident in the offensive line going in this game.
Has the All-Pro list come out yet? I know the Pro Bowl list is out. The All-Pro list is
not,
right?
The NFLPA put out their list. Okay. This is the second time they've done this. And honestly, when you get those player lists, it's more about legacy and popularity.
Yeah. And I would also add, and that's what I was going to say for Penei, right? Like, because I don't think he's going to be on it this year. And I think that's probably fine, but I think he's that close. I think he is like we're on the podcast, so it's like an inch, right? Like, I mean, he's super close to being in that conversation. He's absolutely in the conversation. There are not four tackles better than him playing football right now. There's not two or one probably as a run blocker better than him in the NFL right now. Penei was probably the best run-blocking offensive lineman, regardless of position, in the league this year, if you just take man-on-man right away. And so he's very close, I think, to that all-pro level, and he's 23 friggin' years old.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, Lane Johnson and Trent are going to get it right, and, like, they're 40 damn near. So, like, and they're both going to the Hall of Fame. Like, that's what we're talking about. So,
yeah. Honestly, like, I would be surprised if Panay and Frank don't make at least second team all-pro.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair for both.
Yeah.
And frankly, Frank, you know, if it's not for Kelsey, and, you know. Like,
Frank's had a better year than Kelsey.
Frank's had a better year. Yeah. But if it's not for, like you said, it's Jason Kelsey, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of the best centers that's ever played football. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But the point being is, yes, I think that both those guys, because I know we've gotten a lot of people have asked about that a little bit too. I don't hate that Panay. I don't think it's a snub that Panay's not on there. You know, he's not Pro Bowler. I think that absolutely was deserved. I don't think it's a snub that he's not first team all pro this year, but I think he's super close. And I think if anything, it'll be, you know, fuel to the fire. While St. Brown is pissed off all offseason about not making the Pro Bowl, for Panay, that's, you know, and he's told us before, right? I want everything. I want to be the best player at my position that's ever done this, and that's all pro. So that's the next step for him. We'll see how it goes there. I want to talk about Stafford, though, Colton. You said also he's talked earlier this week, too. He's going to be more boring than Goff, I would imagine. But this is one. What are you thinking here for him? I mean, that's he's had a hell of a season, and I know that a lot of people like to point back to the old days when Stafford would just choke in these huge moments. I haven't seen him do that in a long time. So, you know, like, how are you feeling defensively here, Colton? This is why obviously everyone was terrified of this matchup is because Stafford is playing, you know, at heater level here. So your thoughts here with old number nine coming back.
Yeah, I would watch, you know, Rams games when they were on. And I guess even sometimes I'll just see, you know, Twitter clips from the film junkies that put it out there. And they were just raving about Stafford all season.
Year, man.
And then you'd see these Twitter clips, the all 22 clips. And he's just like, throwing darts all over the field. Like,
yep.
His arm talent has always been insane, but it feels like he's now pairing that with like a veteran mind. Which he didn't, you know, maybe he had that later in his career.
He did late here. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. At the very end.
And he's just carried that over to LA. And even this year, he's surrounded by a lot of young players, but he's getting the most out of that group now. And he's the guy that's kind of willing them along and kind of willed this team to the playoffs, if we're being honest. They won, what, 7 out of their last 8 games to get in the playoffs. It's pretty crazy. That's all Stafford. I think he was kind of banged up early and came back and they went on this run. So, yeah, man. I mean, you talk about the full cast that they have with Kyren Williams and
Puka
Nacua and Cooper Kupp and just the total offense, honestly. And the run stuff is interesting to me because they're running way more gap than they did even last year. I think they lead the league in gap runs with like 257 or something like that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
They just overhauled their entire run scheme and like got a couple new offensive linemen, Steve Avila from TCU. We liked him last year, I think, as a guard.
Yeah, he's great. He's going to be awesome for a long time there.
Yeah, so they got some pieces, and they changed the run scheme. It fits Kyren really well, and they took off. And, like, having that run game be so dependable. I think Kyren missed, like, 5 games, too, and he's still, like, you know, top 5 in rushing, which is pretty crazy. That shows you how good they've been. So you have a run game for Stafford. You give him 2 really good receivers in Cooper Kupp and Puka. What he's been able to do as a rookie, this offense scares you, and it should. At the same time, I almost feel like this is going to sound crazy. The Lions, I this is my take. The Lions fear the combination of like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, even with a Nick Mullins at quarterback, probably a little bit more than Cooper Kupp and Puka, because like those aren't the most athletic guys. Justin Jefferson can win games like by himself.
Yes, he can.
Like he's that good. And everyone's like, why did Nick Mullins throw for 400 yards? I'm like, he is throwing to the best dude in the league.
Playing 500 with Justin Jefferson. Close to
200 yards. Like, come on now. That's Justin Jefferson. That's not Nick Mullins. He's playing 500 up there, lobbing it up, and Justin Jefferson's coming down with it every week. So like you're not playing a Justin Jefferson. Cooper Kupp has not been the same receiver that he's been in the past. I think that's been pretty apparent. He's had some injuries. And Puka's awesome, but he just doesn't scare me the same way Justin Jefferson is. Right. I don't think that's a hot take. No. So I do think that while Stafford makes the tight window throws and makes you have to play perfect defense. I think that's probably the tough challenge there. In terms of the receivers, I actually think they've faced tougher matchups this year than those two guys, at least.
And I think that's the great point that you make. It's not just Jefferson, who can obviously do all those things by himself. It's the fact that they have him paired with Addison, who's just a burner, who is a guy that can blow the top off. And the Rams, you know, that's not – it's been a lot of, like you said, a lot of Stafford opening windows with no-look throws. You know what I mean? Nacua winning underneath like he does and just make – and being extremely dependable on the sideline. He's awesome in the air. He, you know, can adjust. He's been healthy, thank God for him, for the first time, like, in his whole life. Really, and that's why this has really taken off. He has speed. Like, I don't want to say that he's slow. He's a very fast player.
Sure.
But it's not like Jameson, where you got a guy that's just going to, oh my God, or Jefferson, really, who's going to cook a guy so bad, you know, at the line of scrimmage that you're just like, what the hell are we going to do here? Like, that's not what this is. So when I said this earlier today to someone, like, this has to be, and I know they've got some of their guys back, but this has to be the vanilla, put the shell on, get back, and do not let him have anything deep over the top. It's got to be split safety the whole way. Everybody's got to play underneath and fit the run, which I think they can do. I think Campbell's been better under there. If Aleem's back, right, we'll see what all that can do and blah, blah, blah. CJ's in the game. You've got the guys to do all this. Now you got to get back and just do not let him get anything, you know, deep over the top, because that's what's going to kill you. If he gets 6, 12, 15, 7, 9, 15, and they get down to the 7, and you find a way to get into a field goal 3 out of 5 drives, you win the game. Probably by a couple touchdowns. Like, you know what I mean? You win the game. That's what I was trying to say a couple weeks ago when I said I actually like this matchup in some ways more than having to play Green Bay, who – I know, obviously, that for a bunch of reasons, you'd like to play Green Bay more than you would if there's no Stafford, all those other things. They have guys that can really kind of get by you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not that. It's not the same exact thing. And while Stafford can chuck that thing as deep as anybody, and you got to make sure everybody's back and not sleeping, it's a very different deal. He has done so much for them this year. You're 100% right. And it reminds me of the first half of his 2019 here before he got hurt. I think that was the best like 8 games he's ever played in Detroit. He was amazing. They were not good. Danny Amendola was his best receiver, and he was carving people up, and it was just like no looking people off, holding safeties and moving them, just at like an elite mastery level of like understanding the game, like you said. And that's what we're seeing from him. So Stafford can go absolutely bonkers and freak out and win this game by himself, but also you kind of want him to have to do that. So to me, get the safeties back, fit the run with the dudes underneath. They're better on the ground this year. They're not elite on the ground. And I think I feel comfortable enough, I would say, with the front right now that they can do that. I mean, I still feel okay about this game in general. I think that's sort of where I'm at with it. I don't know, like maybe too comfortable. I don't know. But like a lot of people are freaking out, and I guess I get that, but that's, I don't know. I feel like this is a decent matchup for them in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing that we didn't mention is that, you know, if you're talking about Green Bay versus Rams, who'd rather play, Jordan Love can run and he can create extra yards with his legs, and Stafford is not the most mobile quarterback. And I think the Lions do better against guys that can operate from the pocket. Their pass rush has been better, I think, of late. Aiden has really taken a step forward. I think he's got 5 sacks his last 2 games.
My goodness.
He's been unreal. It doesn't sound like James Houston's going to be back. He might need another week. We'll see how the injury report looks this week and how he's coming along. I talked to Cam on Friday, but I would imagine it kind of needs an extra week at this point. But regardless, I think they've been able to get stuff done without him. And Aleem's back, and when Aiden's playing at this level, I think you feel pretty good about the pass rush, maybe being able to get home. So, yeah, I do think the recipe is there. I think you don't allow anything over the top. You play the two deep safeties. I think Campbell, like you mentioned, I think Dan Campbell actually came out this week and said, Jack Campbell, I thought that Vikings game was probably the best of his career.
He's playing much better. Yeah.
He's playing He looks like a veteran now. I'll say that. Like, he is, mm-hmm. he looks comfortable, settled in. He's not overthinking things. He's getting a little cocky on the field, which I like to see. You know, right. he looks yeah, he's like he's around. Settling in. Yeah, and he's flying around the field. So I do think there's a recipe, and if you can, you know, take care of them over the middle a little bit, that's easier said than done. But just don't allow the deep shots.
Right.
Defend the run, which you've done all year. You're second in the league in rushing yards allowed per game. And I think there's a recipe here. You get some turnovers. So splash plays, I think, are so important for this team because there are times where they're not an elite defense, and we know that. So they do have right. to rely on splash plays. And sometimes you're like, well, splash plays kind of come and go. Like, these turnovers, you can't really rely on them. The Lions feel like they can, and they feel like it's because of the guys that they have in place and right. the guys they drafted. Like, Kirby's a ball hawk. CJ Gardner-Johnson tied for the league lead in interceptions a year ago. If he's doing his thing now, he's been unreal. Aiden's creating havoc. So you got enough guys on the field where you feel like you can kind of depend on those splash plays to come when you need them most. So that, to me, is the defensive recipe. You get some pressure. Not you don't need it. You don't need to, you know, have Stafford running for his life all day. But if you can get him uncomfortable, rattled, get off the field on third down a couple times, get some splash plays, and limit explosives, right. I think that's probably your recipe.
Yeah, and if you can take the run away, then that's exactly what – and that's where it starts, really, because it's like – because their run game is improved, and that's why, at the end of the day, they're here. And because he, by himself, wasn't going to be enough without the run game, as we saw last year before he got hurt. And that's still the book on Stafford. It's still the same thing as always. If you can play well on first down over and over to take that thing away to where they're – and get a lead, you know what I mean – then you could just drop in a shell and fire zone Stafford, and he will be miserable for the whole day. And he will give you two or three chances to make a play, because he will just – he's not – like you said, he can't run. Like, I mean, he's athletic enough, like we used to say, but like old wheels Stafford. But if you sit there, drop everybody, and then, you know, mix up where you're bringing pressure from and annoy him, like, it's – you got him where you want him, and you put everything on his shoulders, and you make him beat you. If you're Detroit – you don't make your quarterback do this. You do it for him. If you're looking at the other way, you make Stafford come in here and take it from you. Like, that's really at the end of the day. And I think, you know, one thing I was going to ask quick before we get to the final thoughts here, Laporta, Colton, I know yeah. Campbell said, I think he was out there at walkthrough, but I'm not sure what that even means. I don't know. Did he say anything about like definitive? I don't think he even can at this point, probably.
Not yet. He did say he's improving. Which is, I mean, I think you take that. That's
yeah, okay.
We're really sure what you're going to get.
Swelling's down. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. He said he's improving. He was out there and walked through. I don't foresee us knowing anything or feeling like we have a real good picture until Friday afternoon, but he's improving. Okay. So best case scenario, man, I know some people think that Campbell's just trying to throw LA off the scent and maybe have them game plan for Laporta like he's not hurt. I don't think that's really how Campbell operates. He's usually pretty honest with us.
No, the game plan's not going to change. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so if he tells us Laporta is, like, getting better, I actually believe him when he says that. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the part that actually makes me believe that, because he told us if Laporta is, like, able to play but he's not effective, we're not going to play him. There's just no right. point in putting him out there and letting him, you know, risk further injury, I guess. But it seems like they are actually monitoring his status, and if he can, and he wants to play, I'm sure. And if they can get him out there and he's running around, he's effective and looks even probably like 70% of what he is, I would imagine he might try to give it a go. Mm-hmm. But if he's just out there in name only and like he's just a decoy, like I don't think they're going to make him a decoy in this game. I really don't.
No, no.
There's no need to. I think you got guys that you probably like, and James Mitchell, he's starting to come along. Brock Wright is coming back in this game. Brock Wright is healthy and practicing this week, so it's going to be good to get him back, even just for blocking the run game. He knows all the assignments. Huge. That's good. So, yeah, we'll see if he's out there. That's obviously a huge piece that we're all waiting for, but it seems like Friday would be the day where we get a better picture for that.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all shakes out. But for the rest of it, it's this is what you want, and I think that's kind of what I wanted to – like. Your final thoughts, Colton, on this one? I mean, we're going to go short here because we had one earlier and we got excess later today. But, you know, a lot comes down to this, obviously, right? Like, a lot of people are going to have a feel some kind of way if it doesn't go the Lion's way about where things are at, and that will be foolish and all that sort of thing. I think that I would say before anyone even gets there that I still think they're ahead of schedule. I still think they're further along than I thought they would be. And the future is exactly what you want it to be. However, the opportunity here is massive. We said it a couple weeks ago, I think, when we were talking about that the possibility of it even happening. You can exercise so many demons in one day and just completely forget about it and move on like it never happened and start over next year or whatever this run ends as like a brand new franchise. Like I know that sounds like heavy, but it really is kind of what I feel like this is. That's the opportunity today. You can put to bed the demon of you failed your number one draft pick for a decade. You failed him. You've made another guy retire. You've done that twice. Put it all to bed and bury it. And the playoffs drought goes with it. And everything's and then you're just a regular NFL team that is competing for playoff spots every year. That to me is you're at the door, Colton, right? Like they're right at the door. That's crazy to me that 3 years into this, they're at the door, but they are. And that's what I feel like this opportunity is, and excited to see it, my man. Like, I don't know. What's your thoughts, final thoughts going into this one? It's a big one. You've been around these guys all year.
I'm glad you said it because I agree. I do think, I guess it sounds a little silly on the surface, but I kind of think this is a franchise altering game, if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that it sets you up for the future. You know, getting this game against that guy, we talked about it so much, but I think it's going to mean so much to the city.
Right.
Listening to Stafford talk the other day, he is pretty dialed in on the Rams, man. Like, it's like, I had some good times here, but I'm the enemy now. I'm coming in mm-hmm. here. I'm going to try to win. And, like, I think that was probably the reset that maybe the fans needed.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to kill you.
This guy doesn't play for you anymore, man. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. You had some good times, couldn't get it done. He's moved on. And on the flip side of that, you hear Jared Goff saying, I so badly want to get this win for the city. I so badly want this playoff win. And if he gets this one, you know, Goff's going to have a lot of fans in the city. The Lions are going to have the sense of pride. I spent the week, really the last couple weeks, talking to former players from the 90s who were talking about their sort of run in the 90s, make the playoffs 6 times in 10 years in that decade. And they have one playoff win to show for. Only 2 division titles. And so many ways, this current group parallels that group in the sense that they were building through the draft. They had all these kind of Pro Bowl talents, all pro talents ascend at the same time to have a run like that. And that's really the only run of the Super Bowl era where you've had sustained success like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions are trying to get to that point. The current Lions are. But talking to former players, they want nothing more than to see this group do what they couldn't and win and win the way that they couldn't. So you have a whole city, a whole alumni base kind of riding on this group because they feel like it's different. This is different than anything they've seen over the years, the last 25 plus years since the last time that 90s group made the playoffs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this game means a lot to a lot of people. And if you're able to get it, I think that kind of, we talked about exercising demons, but it almost resets the franchise in ways that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's a lot, but that's gotta be the end all message to the group. There is like, look, it's going to mean a lot to Stafford coming in too, because like legacy and everything else. Can you imagine what his legacy is if he comes in here and slays this one? Like, I'm first ballot now, guys. Like there's no, you know what I'm saying? Like every stat that we used to talk about with him, that was like astronomical, now goes in right into that context of he's got a Super Bowl and he proved everybody that was not his fault. So like that's on his line too. So he's going to be fired up too. But if you're Detroit, every guy in your room has all the things that Colton just said on his shoulders, while the other side, the quarterback, it means that much to him. It's got to mean more to you. This is one of those type of deals where it's hard to do that in the NFL, especially in the playoffs, really, especially in the playoffs. But this has got to mean a little bit more to the home team, I feel like, because it's a really, you got to get it. I mean, I just, it would be one that it's not going to set you back if you don't, in any real bad way or whatever, you can still overcome things and have a great year next year and move on. But man, the opportunity is massive. And I just, for a lot of things and the city and everybody else. And yeah, can't wait to see the crowd. That'll be a wild scene on Sunday. You ready to go? Ready for this?
I'm ready,
for it to be over the week anyway.
Let's go. Yeah, let's get to Sunday already.
I agree with that. Well, that'll do it for this week. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Jordan, of course, earlier this week. If you haven't listened to that conversation, we had, what was it, Tuesday Golden? We talked to Jordan?
Yep.
Somewhere in there. It's in the feed, so that was great. Great talk about, a lot of talk about Goff and Stafford and McVay and Campbell and Holmes and everybody else. So really good stuff there. Also, check out everything Colton's written this week and will continue to write, everything Jordan has written and continue to write. I think I'm writing something for, I actually have to get that to Allison here soon or tomorrow. So I got to get that done. But in any event, that'll do it for this week. Thanks to Colton. I am Nick. Thanks again and take care.